Reaching the car, Jeremy opened the doors and they both got in. But he didn't start the engine immediately. Both of them sat in silence for a few moments that seemed like an eternity, both waiting for the other to say something and both waiting in vain. In the end, Jeremy broke first. "You've taught me a lot," he said, and as he said the words, he knew he meant it from the heart. "I just wanted to say that you've opened up things to me that I'd never really thought about. You've made me appreciate where I am in a way nobody else ever did."
"Me too," Stephanie admitted. "You've added a whole other layer to the things I love, making me love them more than ever."
The pair both gazed out of the window, as if each were screaming for the other to do something, but neither knowing exactly what to do. And then Jeremy did something completely out of character. Reaching across the central console, he patted her hand. "Best get going then," was all he said. Stephanie closed her eyes in rising frustration.
"Hold on a moment," Jeremy said suddenly. "I haven't made any firm plans for tonight. I simply thought we would stop at a travelodge or somewhere en route. I can't promise anything, because I'm sure it's most unlikely, but how would you like to stay here this evening, and we'll make a start for Wales tomorrow?"
"Oh, Jeremy," she gasped. "Do you really think somewhere would have a vacancy?"
"We can only try," he pointed out. "One condition, though."
She nodded vigorously, not needing to know what it was, because she would have given almost anything to spend the night here, to walk the streets in the twilight and even the dark, and to see the early morning sunlight on the houses and buildings she was so familiar with from the small screen. He pulled out his smartphone.
"I'll tell you one thing, Stephanie. I am not knocking on doors like Mary and Joseph looking for a room at the inn."
"If you change your mind, I can always stuff a sweater up my coat to create a baby bump," she laughed, hard enough to break any tension between them. As Stephanie sank further into the sumptuous sofa looking out across the lake, she twisted slightly, so she leant in to Jeremy. And then it seemed the natural thing to do for him to lift his arm and place it across her shoulders. They remained there for some time, saying nothing. As they walked upstairs to their rooms, Stephanie stumbled, and Jeremy wasn't certain whether it was the uneven floorboards or whether she had in fact had too much to drink. But when they reached the door of her room, it was now the moment of truth. She certainly didn't seem tipsy from the way she looked at him directly, with that all too familiar beady eye.
"So, Dr. Rowlands," she challenged him, "are we going to give this a try or not?"
"I think that would be very nice," he said softly, and followed her into the room.
Stephanie awoke the next morning, conscious of a wide, bright stripe of piercing sunlight across the bedspread. Holding her breath, she lay there for a few seconds, trying to discern if she could hear breathing beside her. But all she heard was silence. Turning her head slowly, she saw beside her an empty pillow and felt that horrid, sinking, defeated feeling that only a woman after a one-night stand knows. Sitting up in bed, she felt doubt. Had he gotten up and gone back to his own room? Had she misjudged the situation? But then, abruptly, she realised that the curtains hadn't opened themselves. Donning her pyjamas, she moved around the four-poster bed and crept to the window and peeped out. Sure enough, there was Jeremy sat on the terrace looking out across the lake, enjoying the spring air. He threw an apple at a pair of rabbits that were on the lawn. And hearing a noise behind him, he turned and looked over his left shoulder and smiled. And suddenly she knew it was going to be all right.
"For goodness sake, woman," said Jeremy in mock irritation and secret delight, "get over here."
and they sat sipping their juice, holding hands over the table.